We have a special guest with us this morning. We check in every month with the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, and the president and CEO is Bloomington native Kevin Brinegar. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fabulous, and thanks for the weather forecast, because I'm headed down to visit family this weekend.
Excellent. Well, come on in. It's Bloomington, so you know you can get rain, sunshine, wind, all of that, and within a five-minute period. You've been here once or twice
That's right, in your career.
But we hope it holds off, because as you've mentioned, as we've all mentioned, there's just too much stuff going on, and we hope that we don't have to worry about rain dates or anything like that. Speaking of stuff that's going on, obviously the legislative session has ended. We know about all the last minute things that happened. Now that you've had a month or so to look back at what's developed, give us your big picture thoughts on what we saw at the state level as we get closer to July 1st, when a lot of these things will be enacted.
Sure. Well, overall, we think from the standpoint of growing jobs and expanding our economy and making Indiana a better place to live, that the 2017 legislative session was very positive and very strong. We've talked several times in the past about the importance of the transportation infrastructure legislation. And I think with regard to Section 5 of I-69, there may be some very good news coming on that front here very, very soon, just as a sidebar. But, you know, we have a balanced budget. We have healthy reserves to hedge against a rainy day fund. And Indiana is, in that regard, one of the states that, through the ups and downs of the economic cycle over the last 15 or 20 years, we've been able to have money put away in the down times. And our public schools and our universities, and that's obviously very important to Bloomington, have not been hit nearly as hard, not even close, as facilities in other states, where in some cases higher education funding was just slashed dramatically. And while not always everyone got what they wanted or desired, it's been very even keel and predictable and steady. And that's a good sign of sound fiscal management by the legislature and several governors, you know, over the last 20 years or so, particularly when you contrast Indiana to someplace like our neighboring state to the west, Illinois, which is in absolute crisis. So very good session overall. The interim study committees will be starting up later in the summer, and there's some very interesting topics there, both in workforce development and, of course, the alcohol wars will continue.
Yeah, talk about where that's going, because that's been an interesting one. We know the Rickers story, the Rickers, I don't want to call it the Rickers Law because it's not that, but it's part of that. But there's been, even their brand new commercial is talking about it. There were people over in Columbus, I don't want to say protesting, but making their voices aware. I'm not asking you to look into your crystal ball, but is this something that's just not going to go away? Is this something that's going to just keep fighting and fighting, or is it going to finally be resolved?
Well, I hope that it is finally resolved, and there's a lot of different aspects to it. It's not, I mean, the big things that people talk about are Sunday sales and where cold beer can be sold, and the fact that we even have we're the only state in the country that has a distinction between about beer temperature, between some places can sell cold beer and some facilities, retail outlets cannot. But I think the Rickers situation, people have always sort of talked about, Sunday sales is inconvenient. You know, not having Sunday sales, I should say, is inconvenient, and it's backwards, and it's out of sync with the times. You know, it's a throwback to, well, really, the state's founding in the 1800s.
If the state needs revenue, Kevin, why are we taking a day off when we're not going to collect any? That doesn't, to me, that's always been the argument. You're going to raise my taxes for everything else? Well, why are you only collecting revenue 6 days a week here?
Well, although some would argue that the sales will just be spread out over 7 days, and you got to pay people on Sunday for the purchases that people would make on the other 6 days if you were still closed. But I think the Rickers issue has rose this to, you know, an occasional comment here and there to a level where I had people asking me about it all the time. And I think it's become more front and center for the public in general. And I think there's going to be more demands to say, you know, stop the nonsense of being the only state that doesn't allow retail establishments to sell alcohol on Sundays. Stop the nonsense of, you know, letting warm beer and cold beer, you know, I go other places in the country and, you know, it's grocery stores are all, it's all cold beer. But there are other issues too about, you know, liquor stores can't sell food items. And,
yeah, they can't sell cold pop if they sell cold beer. It's, there's some very archaic laws to all this.
Yeah, I mean, so there's things that cut, a lot of things that cut both ways. I mean, you can, a child can be with their parents in the beer aisle at the grocery store, but they can't go into a liquor store with their parent or guardian.
Yeah.
You know, what's the
yeah, you can walk into Walmart, you get a case of beer, you can get a half gallon of whiskey, and you have your kids running around going crazy. So it's just, it sends mixed messages, it's confusing.
So all that needs to be looked at. And then, of course, there's the issue of the permits and the value of the permits. And so, I mean, there's big money involved here. And I think for this to get resolved, I would hope that the General Assembly, our view is, the General Assembly needs to focus on this from the standpoint of public safety, for sure, and making sure that we do as much as possible to prevent underage drinking, and also from the perspective of what's most convenient for the customers and what do the customers
want. Yeah, because we laugh. I mean, you're doing everything to prevent underage drinking right now, whether it's warm or cold.
Yeah.
those are the issues. I think the Indianapolis Star ran a poll last week or the week before that I saw on Twitter. It said, you know, 86% of the people want cold beer and 88% of the people want Sunday sales. So we the people, right?
Well, and I think it's time for the General Assembly to listen to the people and bring these laws out of the prohibition era and into the 21st century. But that said, there are a lot of complexities. It's not just about cold beer and Sunday sales, but it's not.
Well, let me ask you that question. Why can't it just be about cold beer and Sunday sales? Why does it have to be so deep and intricate and have so many layers?
Well, I guess in theory it doesn't, but you know, if you're going to tackle those things, then why not tackle the issue about, you know, cold pop and food items in liquor stores? And, you know, where children can be and where they can't be, and, you know, why can they be with
baby steps? Let's start with the important things first, and work our way down to if I'm getting beef jerky and a bag of chips, that, I can live with that. I know what I'm getting, but to have some cold beer with that, Kevin Brinegar is our guest.
Well taken.
Kevin Brinegar is our guest this morning. He's the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. He gives us a good laugh and great information every time we get caught up with him. And so this will be studied over the summer. Now, how, if this wants to get
picked... Actually, 2 years, which is another strange thing. We usually don't have two-year study committees, but, you know, they want to drag this out a little while longer, I guess.
My, oh, my. Okay, so we'll wait 2 more years to see that. By then, the surveys will be 98% of people would want cold beer, and 98%.
Maybe my children will be able to buy cold beer.
Well, they are the future.
That's right.
Teach them well and let them lead the way, as the song goes. But we have other things we're looking at. Obviously, in the summertime, these committees get together and look to study stuff. You saw the Indiana Vision report card come out, the 10th annual workforce survey, and I was listening to our station earlier this morning, and some of the angles that employers are having problems with is finding qualified workers. How does Indiana rate in that category?
Well, we're challenged, like some other states, but even more so because we have the lowest unemployment rate in the Midwest at 3.6%, and that's at that level, that economists would say that that's essentially full employment because there's always going to be some churning. You know, in the economy as some businesses ramp up and some businesses contract. And so we're really a lot of stress and strain. And let me go to the workforce survey first. We've done this for 10 years, so we have some data over time to look at the trends. And one of the trends that is concerning is that we ask the question, have you left a position or positions open in the last year due to the inability to find a qualified worker? And in the last 4 years, that percentage responding yes has gone from 39% to 47%. So nearly half of the 1,200 respondents said that they've left jobs open because they can't find qualified workers. And likewise, another question that says, what is your number one issue facing your company? Could be anything from workforce to foreign competition to natural resources costs, transportation, whatever. And in the last 3 years, the number saying that workforce challenges is number one has gone from 20% to 29%. And when you say first or second biggest challenge, it's gone from 72% to 79%. So it's on people's minds. It's challenging. There's also evidence of this survey of stress on finding and filling jobs because we've got employers backing off of drug testing and saying, if you've got skills, we'll roll the dice and take our chances with you. And we've even got some employers that in their want ads are saying, we don't drug test.
Wow, interesting.
And less than half of them in our survey said that they don't they drug test even in safety sensitive positions. And that's both eye opening and concerning, and it's indicative of the stress and strain that is out there in the job market for employers.
Yeah, well, Kevin, how do we get more qualified workers? What do we do to increase that pool?
Well, we think there's a two-pronged strategy. One, we've got to train up, three. We've got to train up the folks that are already in the workforce to give them the skills that they need to be able to successfully fill more high-wage, high-demand, high-skilled jobs. We've got to, redouble our efforts at the K-12 level, and the General Assembly put some focus on that this year and looking at what we do with, there's about $110 million in career and technical ed training that goes into the high schools, and make sure that the programs that are offered and the kids are slotted into will prepare them for the high-demand, high-wage jobs, because we've got a lot of money being spent and high school kids going into programs that really don't lead to living wage jobs. And we need to make better use of that money that we already have available. And then from our perspective, we think we need to adopt a third strategy, a new strategy, and that is more aggressively recruit from outside of Indiana talented people and get the word out that, hey, we've got jobs available. I mean, just last week, the Economic Development Director of Elkhart County, which is RV capital of the world, said that there are currently 20,000 open jobs just in Elkhart County.
Wow. So how does all that work? Like, how do we make those things happen? Is it, is it you guys working with state government? Are you working with local governments? How does it all work?
Are we looking at tax credits? How do you, how do you get this rolling?
Well, I think first is identifying where the openings are, what the high wage, high demands are, and then working with both state and local government, but probably particularly state government, to make sure that we've honed and use the resources that we have, both state and federal dollars that are appropriated for training and for K-12 education and post-secondary, and direct those towards, one, make young people aware of what the opportunities are and aware of what you need to do starting in high school to prepare yourself for the jobs that are out there and the jobs of the future. And so that, you can get from point A to point B, because a lot of it is if you haven't taken the right courses and achieved at the right level, then once you get out of high school, it's hard to get there. And so if we can, close those gaps and make those paths easier and provide more information, and that deals with everything, including school counseling at the high school level. And making sure, and we've got an initiative, Lilly Endowment has a $30 million initiative to help really revamp and improve school counseling at the high schools that we've been involved in as well, to try to put better information in the hands of counselors about these job opportunities so that, they're not just sending all the kids, one particular place, but let them know that, if you're not college bound, that's okay. But there's a good living wage job and career waiting out there for you, but you're going to need to do some additional training and skills development after high school. And here's the opportunity.
Well, and the other part is that we know the state legislature is not exactly throwing money at the school corporations to let them help and expand any of this. So it's ironic that you need to fill all these gaps and you need to start it at that level, but those resources aren't always flowing in that right direction. So maybe that's something to
look. Well, yeah, we're in a low inflation environment. This is a tight state budget. And so right now, at least for the near future term, it's more about making the absolute best use of existing dollars than expecting that there's going to be a whole big influx of new dollars flowing into schools or universities.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we know it's tight, and it all works together, I think, is what the picture you're painting is mm-hmm. accurate, because if it doesn't start then, it's not going to happen now, and mm-hmm. then you have to retrain a workforce that's maybe been in the workforce for 20 years, and it's not cheap, it's not free, it's not easy to do, so that's one of the challenges moving forward. Kevin Brinegar is our guest this morning. He's the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. As we get to July 1st, we will see a bunch of new laws jump into action. Anything jump off the page to you that our listeners should be aware of to make sure that we know is in the books?
Oh, the thing, of course, that comes to my mind first, partly because we worked so hard on this legislation, is I think you'll start seeing more and more asphalt being paved and more road projects as the funding mechanisms for the long-term transportation infrastructure measures kick in. There will be a bump at the gas pump, and then next year the registration fees will be $15 higher for, I'll call it, regular cars, gas-powered cars, and $150 for electric cars that currently pay no fuel taxes to use the roads. So that's one. Nothing else really substantial comes
to mind. But the gas tax, that affects everybody. Registration affects everybody, and that's something
we
need to pay attention to. You got big plans for the weekend?
Going down to see my folks. I grew up, they lived in town when I was growing up, but now they live out on Lake Monroe. And I think cooking out and boating.
It's a perfect weekend for us. It's going to be hot.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
And there's plenty of room for everybody, as you know, on Lake Monroe, so that's you don't have to worry about it
yes,
being too
is.
Crowded. Hey,
we got a few favorite parking spots to hang out at.
That's right.
And I bet you're not going to be one of the 800 in Allen's Creek, or what is it, Moore's Creek, Allen's
right,
Creek?
Right,
Allen's Creek. I've done that many, many times when I was younger and wilder.
Mm-hmm.
So. Exactly. Tie up all the boats and walk from shore to shore. It's a fun time. Hey, we appreciate the insight. We appreciate the information. We'll get caught up with you coming back next month and to see how these committees are forming, how these new laws going into effect are getting the ball rolling. Have a fantastic Father's Day weekend, and we'll talk to you in July.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. Take care.